Live from our nation's capital, it's the Inside Scoop with Mark Levin.
Good afternoon, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. I am your host, Mark Levin, reporting on the very last day the Inside Scoop will be heard in 2019. So I want to, first of all, wish every person here, every Jewish person, a happy Hanukkah. I lit the first candle last night. Of course, Hanukkah celebrates not just lights, but freedom, including religious freedom, something very important to remember. May we all increase freedom around the world between this year and the next. I'll be talking a little about freedom because I think it very much relates to the impeachment. And, of course, Merry Christmas, of course. You know, Hanukkah is 8 days long. Christmas is supposed to be just one day. But for some reason, they say Merry Christmas every day after Thanksgiving for a month. So I don't know quite why that works. But a Merry Christmas to everyone. Christmas Eve tomorrow night. I know it'll be a magical day right here in my hometown of Alexandria, Virginia, where we're going to have the lights all out at night. It's really beautiful here. In the midst of this holiday cheer and good feeling, there is this dark cloud. It's called Donald Trump. It's also called impeachment. And there's a concern among liberals that, will impeachment change anything? That what do we do? We went through all of this. We proved that our president's corrupt, and half the country isn't listening. As we head to this holiday season, I want to argue that impeachment actually has real meaning. That this matters whether or not the Senate convicts Donald Trump, that Nancy Pelosi holding off turning impeachment over actually makes sense, at least in the short term. And bring in a larger discussion of morality. This is the holiday season, and whether you celebrate Hanukkah or Christmas or Kwanzaa or Festivus for the rest of us, or just celebrate the new year, it's a time of reflection. It's a time of hanging out with family and friends, a time of having a good time, but also a time, I think, I hope, where we think about, well, where we've come and where we're going. After all, when you change the new year, isn't that what you do? You know, you sing for Auld Lang Syne because you're thinking about old times. And, of course, you're thinking about the future as well. The old man that is 2019 and the young baby that is 2020. So what are we to think about impeachment in this holiday season? What does it matter? First of all, we need to recognize there is still evil in the world. The good cheer of the holiday season doesn't magically get rid of all the evil in the world. And if you want a good example of that, well, all you have to do is look at Rudy Giuliani right now. So Rudy Giuliani right now is working with a very, very close aide of Vladimir Putin. His name is Dmytro Firtash. This is a new name, hasn't been in the scandal before. And Dmytro Firtash has been a central player in the Russian attempt to take back Ukraine. You'll recall the Soviet Union consisted of more than Russia. It consisted of Russia and Ukraine and Belarus and the Baltic states, Latvia, Lithuania, Estonia, places like Georgia, Azerbaijan, Armenia, Kazakhstan, all the stans, Turkmenistan. It was a larger country than just Russia. Russia's very large. It's the largest country on the planet. Twice as large as the second largest country, which is Canada, most of it, a lot of it being Siberia and places that a lot of people don't want to live. But it's a very, very large country. When it was the Soviet Union, it had conquered, Russia had conquered lots of other peoples and proclaimed them all in some glorious Soviet Union, except the Ukrainians didn't want to live under Russian power. Neither did the Latvians, Lithuanians, Estonians, Georgians, Azerbaijanis. Frankly, neither do the Chechens today. Russia is an empire. Ronald Reagan called it the evil empire. And when the Soviet Union fell apart because of its dictatorship, The people marched for democracy, and at least we thought, okay, Russia, it's very hard to make Russia a democracy. We tried really hard, but at least the countries around it, countries, particularly those facing Europe, like Ukraine, the countries behind the Iron Curtain, Poland, Hungary, what used to be called Czechoslovakia, today it's called the Czech Republic and Slovakia. What was East Germany is now part of Germany. Poland, Bulgaria, Romania, these countries would become free and join Europe. And we hoped that the other countries that were part of the Soviet Union, Ukraine, Latvia, Lithuania, Estonia, would also become free. And I guess it befits a time when we're talking about a holiday that celebrates freedom, Hanukkah. The story of Hanukkah, of course, is a story of how the Jewish people in Israel, then called Judea, were conquered by the Greeks, forced to worship Greek gods rather than the Jewish God, which Jews consider the one God. And the great Jewish temple in Jerusalem was defiled, filled with Greek statues of various gods, gods of Zeus and everything. And the Maccabees were the heroes of that day, the Jewish people who fought against the Greeks and obtained independence, Jewish independence, a Jewish state in Judea once again. And more importantly, the right to worship their own religion. And that's what we celebrate when we celebrate Hanukkah. We celebrate religious freedom. And it's interesting because a lot of Jewish holidays celebrate freedom. Exodus, of course, is Passover. We celebrate the Exodus from Egypt, of the Jewish people who were once slaves in the land of Egypt. A lot of Jewish worship celebrates freedom. It's interesting. I don't know of... There may be another religion, but I don't know of another religion that specifically has freedom as one of its core principles. I would say America, the United States of America, after slavery, but liberty, life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, right? We have the Declaration of Independence. The idea of liberty is absolutely an American value. It may be one that we have not always followed through on, okay, often not followed through on, particularly with a history of slavery and racial bias. But people came to America. Immigrants came to America, as they say in the Emma Lazarus poem, The Statue of Liberty, yearning to breathe free. Freedom is a core American value. Some conservatives think it's a core conservative value. Freedom, they say. I would argue it's a core American value. So at this time when we should be celebrating freedom, it is really scary that the lawyer for the President of the United States is working with our greatest enemy, our most powerful enemy, Russia, the Russian dictator Vladimir Putin, in order to help Russia take over Ukraine, and in doing so to somehow tar Joe Biden, right? That's the quid pro quo here. Trump agrees to give Russia control over Ukraine, and in return, Trump gets made-up, artificial, manufactured lies about Joe Biden. That's the quid pro quo. You can understand why it's very good for Putin. You can understand somewhat why it's good for Trump. You can also understand, I hope, why it's very bad for America. So what's going on? Who's Dmytro Firtash? And there's a really good article. It's actually the editorial of the Washington Post on December 22nd, just so you know my source. Dmytro Firtash acted for about 15 years as the agent who grabbed all the money for the gas sales from Russia to Ukraine. So Russia has a ton of natural gas. Ukraine needs to heat itself. It gets very cold. They had to buy gas from Russia. And Firtash personally pocketed billions of dollars because he could just control the entire gas trade, right? There's no competition. And banks lent him billions more. So billions and billions of dollars this guy has stolen from Ukraine. And at the time, Ukraine had a pro-Putin leader, Yanukovych. Now, there was a popular uprising against Yanukovych. He was impeached. The Ukrainian fled to Russia, which gives you an idea of sort of who he was working for. And Joe Biden, among many people, President Obama, Joe Biden, the European Union, forced, pushed pushed Russia, pushed Ukraine to cut out Firtash, to cut out the Moscow middlemen, so that they could keep the billions of dollars for their own people and stop funneling money into Putin's war chest. Well, Firtash was discovered in Austria. He was arrested on United States criminal charges. So he's a wanted felon in the United States. He paid his bail with a $155 million loan from one of Putin's people. Now, this felon that on the lam, hiding and running from a U.S. court criminal judgment, is working now with Rudy Giuliani to dig up dirt on Biden. In fact, it was Firtash, we now know, according to the prosecutors who filed against Lev and Lev Parnas. You might remember him, the associate of Giuliani. It was this guy, Firtash, who paid for the money sent from Giuliani's Ukrainian people to Trump. So it's a little confusing. We'll get to more details after the break. But the heart of the answer is Giuliani is still working with Putin to help Trump by making up dirt on Biden and profiting from the same criminals who are on the lam from American justice. These are dark times, people. It's another reason why impeachment is very necessary. We'll be right back with more. 888-488-MARK if you want to dial in. 888-488-6275. Right back after this.
He's a Fulbright scholar and he speaks French, but he couldn't tell you who won the Super Bowl. It's Mark Levine. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. And now, the voice of reason in an unreasonable world. Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. So we have Giuliani, the president's personal attorney, working with an indicted felon on the lam, a guy who's facing United States criminal charges, running from the law, financed entirely by Vladimir Putin and his people, and basically giving money to the Donald Trump campaign. These are the same people that we have, Lev Parnas and where's the other one here? Igor, who are – Igor Fruman, who are in court because of their campaign violations. He gave them millions of dollars. And interestingly, Firtash has now appeared in another case – involving a former Ukrainian prosecutor alleging wrongdoing by Biden. Now, the details have been proven to be false. We know that Putin gave $2 million to Giuliani's associates, and they did so to get to give to the Donald Trump campaign. And the whole goal for Putin, you understand, is to make Ukraine not turn toward the West. He wants it to be under the Russian dictatorship. And so Giuliani met with pro-Russian legislators, sons Andrei Durkak, who's the son of a Soviet KGB officer, attended KGB Academy. He received a message from Andrei Artemenko. Here's the heart of what you need to know, because it does get complicated, but it's really very simple. Trump is not working to help America or its ally Ukraine. Trump is sending Giuliani on a mission to get anyone to claim anything about Joe Biden, whether true or false. And in the process, he's taking millions of dollars from Vladimir Putin and using that money for his campaign while at the same time sacrificing an ally, Ukraine, a country that we spent 60 years fighting in the Cold War to free from Russian domination, a country that is desperately trying to join democratic Europe, and sacrificing that country over to Moscow. So that's where we are right now. And what's fascinating about all of this is that, again, conservatives used to oppose the evil empire. Ronald Reagan used to talk about the dangers of Russian influence. The idea of losing the Cold War was never a Republican talking point. Republicans never said, we must lose the Cold War. We must surrender to Russia. This is new. Used to be conservatives wanted to fight the Cold War. You may not remember that, but it wasn't that long ago. The fact that now Donald Trump is supporting ISIS is a new thing. It wasn't that long ago that Donald Trump and Republicans opposed ISIS. It was not that long ago they opposed Russia occupying the Middle East and taking over and ISIS killing Americans. They didn't want to hand over our allies, the Kurdish people, over to ISIS. Now, you could say this is just a foreign policy dispute. Okay, you or I may not agree with the United States helping the evil empire conquer Europe, helping Russia win the Cold War, helping ISIS expand its terrorism. You and I may not agree to it. But Mark, what does this have to do with impeachment? Well, the answer is that I don't know that most conservatives agree. I don't think they do with surrendering to Russia in the Middle East and Europe. I don't think most conservatives suddenly love Vladimir Putin. But what they're willing to do is they're willing to put their loyalty to Trump ahead of their loyalty to their nation. Most conservatives recognize that Russia is not our friend, that Putin is not our friend, that ISIS is not our friend. Most of them recognize that Giuliani is corrupt as all hell and shouldn't be conspiring with known criminals to help Putin use money laundering to help the Trump campaign. Right? Most conservatives know that. But they're saying, look, if we have to surrender the United States to help Trump get reelected, we'll do that. Because our loyalty is to Trump, not the United States. And when we come back, I want to talk about an article that's come forward in an evangelical magazine called Christianity Today. And they bring up this clear conflict, between Christianity and Donald Trump. I think it's also a proper thing to discuss as we approach Christmas, Christmas Eve beginning tomorrow night. Has Christianity, like the conservatives, sacrificed itself? Can Donald Trump do real harm to this 2,000-year-old religion by making it clear that the ends justify the means? That it's okay, in fact, to sacrifice your values if it means getting some transactional purpose? Because isn't that at heart exactly what's going on? Isn't that what conservatives and evangelical Christians are doing? They're saying, yeah, our main goal, what we care about more than any other, is we want women not to have abortions. Because we want women not to have abortions, we want Donald Trump to appoint judges that will make sure that we lock women up or maybe execute them. I'm not sure. I've never understood how, if you support the death penalty for murder and you think abortion is murder, you're not for executing 50 million American women who've had abortions. Logically, I think that makes sense, although in practicality, I think executing one-third of every American woman is something that would be kind of hard for those conservatives to do. But the point is, because of abortion politics, they're willing to sacrifice everything else. Democracy, out the window. Freedom, forget it. The idea that the president shouldn't be corrupt or on the take or bribed, it doesn't matter. Truth itself is sacrificed by them. And I think as we approach the Christmas season, I think it's time for people to ask themselves, where does it stop? In asking whether impeachment does anything, will we be able, this Christmas season, this Hanukkah season, to get religious people of goodwill to finally recognize that Donald Trump is not God? He's actually a false god. Very dangerous devil for America. We'll be right back after this.
Back to the Aggressive Progressive, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. The editor-in-chief of Christianity Today, a publication founded by Billy Graham, did an incredibly courageous thing last Thursday. He published an op-ed entitled, Trump should be removed from office. Now, obviously, I've been arguing that Trump was unfit to be president since before he ran for president. But for Billy Graham's successor, for an evangelical Christian, to attack Donald Trump and his integrity and his ethics was extraordinary. And first, I think we have to make clear that it's extraordinary that it's extraordinary. One would think that a religious magazine would absolutely be looking at ethics. One would think that a Christian magazine would care about Christianity, would care about morals. Indeed, it is extraordinary that 80% of white evangelical Christians support Donald Trump, because evangelical Christians supposedly are supposed to care about morality. So the fact that it's extraordinary for a prominent evangelical Christian to argue that Donald Trump is immoral is in and of itself extraordinary. Because usually religious leaders are supposed to be the first to call out immorality and injustice, not the last. The prophets of the what Christians call the Old Testament, what Jews call the Hebrew Bible, the prophets were the first to call out injustice. The kings did not like the prophets. Elijah and Isaiah and Jeremiah were constantly attacking the kings and saying, King, you're not doing the right thing. King David, you're not doing the right thing. King Ahab, you're not doing the right thing. The kings wanted the prophets just to go away. Who needs these critics? But the prophets followed a higher law. They followed God's law. Indeed, Jesus himself was a critic. He was a reformer. He didn't like those moneylenders in the temple. He didn't think that sacrifices should decide whether or not you had a place in the kingdom to come. It was the meek who should inherit the earth, who shall inherit the earth, Jesus taught. It was the poor. It is easier, Jesus said, for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than a rich man to enter heaven. I mean, that's stronger than anything Bernie Sanders Elizabeth Warren have ever said. Right? I mean, Jesus was a clear socialist. But the point is that Christianity and Judaism, and we're kind of in this midway point since Christmas is in the middle of Hanukkah this year, both Christianity and Judaism taught that God's law was more important than human law, that morality mattered, that even if you lived in an unjust society, it was your job to call out those that are immoral. That's exactly what the prophets did with the kings. That's exactly what Jesus did. They said, if you live in immoral times, you still should be moral. I mean, the Bible teaches us of Noah. Everyone's evil around Noah, but Noah is good. And that's why Noah is saved from the flood. Elijah once said, if the Lord is God, follow him. If Baal is God, follow him. Right? So you should know what is good and what's not good. Listen to what Mark Galli wrote, the editor-in-chief of Christianity Today. He writes, whether Mr. Trump should be removed from office by the Senate or by popular vote next election, that is a matter of prudential judgment. That he should be removed, we believe, is not a matter of partisan loyalties, but loyalty to the creator of the Ten Commandments. Galli points out that Christianity Today has consistently encouraged its readers to prioritize the eternal. It doesn't matter who the president is, doesn't matter what the party affiliation is. In 1974, Christianity Today said that President Richard Nixon was, quote, a person who has failed gravely to live up to the moral demands of our Judeo-Christian heritage. In 1998, its editorial called Bill Clinton a president who operated, quote, several commandments short of a decalogue. By the way, my source for all of this is a wonderful op-ed by Nancy French, who has gone through the Galli editorial. But even Bill Clinton cheating on his wife was enough to have Christianity Today call for his removal. Well, Trump is worse. According again to the editor of Christianity Today, Trump's use of political power, quote, to coerce a foreign leader to harass and discredit one of the president's political opponents is not just unconstitutional. It is not only a violation of our Constitution. It is not only an impeachable offense. That's less important to the editor of Christianity Today. It is also, quote, profoundly immoral. He goes on to say the president has dumbed down the idea of morality in his administration. He has hired and fired a number of people who are now convicted criminals. He himself has admitted to immoral actions in business and his relationship with women, about which he remains proud. His Twitter feed alone, with its habitual string of mischaracterizations, lies, and slanders, is a near-perfect example of a human being who is morally lost and confused, unquote. This is extraordinary. It's extraordinary because it shouldn't be extraordinary. It's extraordinary that Christianity, and particularly Christian evangelicals, have so lost their way that they don't know which way is up anymore. They don't know which way is down and which way is up. You know, when you go scuba diving, if you've ever been scuba diving, it can get really dark as you go down below the surface and you got this air tank on your back and you can get turned over and over and you can get to the point, and I know this, I've been down there, where you don't know which way is up. It's dark and you don't know whether to swim this way. Is that up? Is that sideways? Is that down further to the depth? You don't know which way is up. How are you going to get out of the water if you don't know which way is up? Well, the answer for the scuba diver is to simply blow some bubbles. Bubbles always float to the top. You want to know which way is up? You simply exhale and look to see where your bubbles go and go in that direction. It should not be hard for a moral person to know which way is up. Like this lost scuba diver, the solution is simple. Do most evangelicals believe that you should cheat on every wife you've had? He's cheated on three. Do most of them believe that you should help the Russian evil empire conquer the world? Do most of them support ISIS murdering Christians? Of course not. Evangelicals know where they stand. The fact that it's so unusual tells you that the vast majority of Christian evangelicals have lost their way just a few days before Christmas. They have, Galley said, taken a transactional approach to Trump. They have, quote, pointed to his Supreme Court nominees, his defense of religious liberty, and his stewardship of the economy, among other things, as achievements that justify their support. He asks, quote, can we say with a straight face that abortion is a great evil that cannot be tolerated, and with the same straight face say that the bent and broken character of our nation's leader doesn't really matter in the end? How can you say that abortion is the only morality that matters? Does it not matter that we are helping an evil dictatorship murder thousands of innocent people? I disagree with the evangelicals on abortion. I happen to think a woman's body belongs to herself. I don't think it belongs to the church or the government. I happen to think that children need to be protected and fed and given health care, and that whether or not a man and a woman decide to have a child is up to them, not up to the state. I think that a frozen embryo is a frozen embryo. It's an egg and a sperm in the freezer. It's not a baby who can shiver and stay there for 1,000 years. We disagree on abortion. That's true. But can abortion be, even if you completely disagree with me, can that be your only morality? I mean, how many people would you murder to try to save an embryo in a petri dish? Right? Because there are hundreds of thousands of them frozen right now in various clinics. Would you kill all the doctors there and steal the embryos and forcibly implant them in women all across America because these are lives? Trump is sacrificing American and world freedom just to get a little made-up dirt on his political opponent. And some Christians are saying the end does not justify the means. And it's no answer, Galley writes, that every one of us is guilty of sin. See, you hear that sometimes, right? Oh, yeah, Donald Trump's a sinner. We're all sinners. Yeah, I guess we're all sinners. I'm sure Mother Teresa hasn't acted perfectly. She did a lot of really good things, but I'm sure she wasn't perfect. I'm sure she committed a sin or two. Hitler's sins, though, were far greater than Mother Teresa's. If we can't tell the difference between Mother Teresa and Hitler because they're all guilty of sin, sin has no meaning anymore. There are levels of sin. There are levels of human darkness. As Galley writes, none of the president's positives can balance the moral and political danger we face under a leader of such grossly immoral character. Here's the thing. It's not a question of Christianity or Christian evangelicals or Mark Galley in some way tainting or harming Trump. I'm sure Trump sees it that way. It's a real question of whether Trump is tainting Christianity. Christianity's been around for 2,000 years. Is your Christianity so weak that you need Donald Trump to have faith? Is your patriotism to the United States of America so weak that you're willing to sacrifice the American military and all those good leaders who've won Purple Hearts and have risked their jobs to tell the truth about Donald Trump? And you're going to sacrifice freedom itself because of your loyalty to Donald Trump? What is it about Donald Trump? The Bible tells us not to worship idols. What kind of idolatry is Donald Trump? Does anyone really dispute that this man is manifestly immoral? Is there any argument there? The thing is, any Christian, liberal Christian, conservative Christian, evangelical Christian, any Jew, Orthodox, Reform, any Muslim, any Buddhist, any Hindu, any person of faith, secular humanists, people who don't worship God but recognize that there is a difference between good and evil, anyone can recognize that Donald Trump is not a moral man. He's cheated people every step of his life. From Trump University, where he admitted the fraud, to the most recent fraud from his charities. From welcoming Russian influence into our elections, to asking Ukraine, to asking China to intervene in our elections. From attacking John McCain, the war hero, to all the racism and support for neo-Nazis in Charlottesville, and calling Mexicans rapists, and on and on and on and on and on. His narcissism, his unwillingness to understand for one second the empathy of putting yourself in someone else's shoes. Most Christians I know do recognize that Donald Trump is immoral. But it's ends justify the means kind of stuff. Yeah, Trump's immoral, but I'm really rich and I got a tax cut. Yeah, Trump's immoral, but we're going to have judges that are going to break up gay families, and I don't think gay people have a right to be happy, and we can make them unhappy. We can stop those black people from being happy. We can keep Mexicans out of our country. We can make sure that El Salvadorans go back to their death. We can put kids in cages. And do you hear yourself? Other than hate, what explains any support for Donald Trump? When will Christians and Jews and all people of good faith and no faith recognize that their own soul is at stake? Is it worth sacrificing your soul to idolatry? I think in this religious season, it's something we should ask ourselves and ask our family members. It's a tough question. But when I come back, I'll explain how impeachment helps us to answer that very question. We'll be right back, right after this.
He's a Bible-quoting, Constitution-loving, flag-waving, red-blooded, liberal American. He's Mark Levine. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. And now, the voice of reason in an unreasonable world, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. As we get closer to the holidays, sometimes we get a little more reflective about who we are and what we believe in. As Mark Gallia of Christianity Today wrote, quote, "When Christians of any stripe support a cause that strikes me as manifestly immoral, it does damage to the cause that I've given my life to." That's one part of the equation that all Christians, especially my brothers and sisters in the evangelical world, need to think about more seriously and more deeply. If you support freedom, if you support some basic notion of morality, if you believe in unselfishness, in giving to others, you have to recognize that what the president did is wrong. And even if impeachment goes nowhere, even if the Senate refuses to call up the people who are most intimately aware of what Donald Trump did, Donald Trump himself should testify. Vice President Pence, Secretary of State Pompeo, as well as, of course, his lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, and his chief of staff, Mick Mulvaney, and his national security advisor, John Bolton, and Bill Barr, the attorney general, who's also helping in the cover-up. All these people should testify, and they're all refusing to. And they're all refusing to for the simple reason that they all know he's guilty. Right? If Donald Trump were innocent, if any of these people who worked for him had any information to suggest that he didn't do what he has admitted to doing, what Mick Mulvaney's admitted to doing, what he said on the phone call, what he said out loud, what dozens of national security officials appointed by Trump, they've all said the same thing, that Donald Trump was conditioning our military aid to Ukraine, approved by Congress, which he had no right to condition, on making up a false investigation into his rival Joe Biden. Everyone says the same thing. In fact, it just came out this week that within 90 minutes of his phone call with Zelensky, the president of Ukraine, Trump withheld the aid. Couldn't be a clearer quid pro quo. But Mitch McConnell, Republicans in the Senate don't want Americans to know the truth. They're afraid that if you actually knew the truth, that you would want Donald Trump removed. Interestingly, although half the country wants Donald Trump removed right away, 75% of the country thinks Donald Trump did wrong. 25% thinks he didn't do wrong. These witnesses would show exactly what he did because they'd have to tell the truth. If they lied, they could be convicted of perjury. It's understandable why Republicans want to cover it up. But what Christianity Today shows is that there are some who put their morality, who put their faith, who put their integrity ahead of loyalty to an authoritarian, to someone, a narcissist who just wants himself. So I ask people to reflect this holiday season who they are, who they're loyal to, and why that is. Because you will regret, I dare say, being on the wrong side of history. There are people today that don't want to admit they voted for Nixon. There are people today who regret supporting segregation. When the immorality is obvious, it's time for all Americans to recognize it. And at least I am proud to say that my party, the Democratic Party, did the right thing. Impeached Donald Trump, even if it's politically difficult, recognizing that if we had chosen not to, it would be a carte blanche, a blank slate, a blank check for any other president to misuse the law. This is Mark Levine. This is my last show of 2019. Starting in January, I go down to Richmond to legislate as a member of the Virginia House of Delegates. But I'm not giving up radio, folks. I'll be back beginning of April of 2020. Stay tuned then for more of the Inside Scoop. Until then, Merry Christmas, Happy Kwanzaa, Happy Hanukkah, have a great new year.